Hello, this is News Director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone today as I continue these Meet the Candidate interview series, a candidate for Bemidji City Council at Large, Roger Schmidt. How's it going today, Roger?
It's going fine. Thank you, Larissa.
Well, let's get started by letting people get to know you, such as how long have you lived in Bemidji?
Well, I actually have lived in the area all my life. I was born and raised 25 miles north of here, right up near Red Lake, about a few miles from Red Lake. And we moved to Bemidji probably just as I graduated from high school. And so then we bought a house in Bemidji. We sold our farm and bought a house in Bemidji. And so we've been here that period of time, and so it was kind of interesting, other than being gone for the service and a few other things, you know. We've always maintained a residence here in Bemidji.
What branch of the military did you serve in?
I was in the Army. I was in the Minnesota Army National Guard for 27 years, so it was quite a period of time, pretty active in a lot of things. Rescuing some lost people, forest fire over in Bedora. There were flood duties. There were riots that we had to address. We were actually involved with the 1st Division. We trained with them extensively and got pretty high-powered equipment, and we were shipping out to the Gulf War. It got over real quick, so we didn't get there quite in time to, but we were supposed to run interference ahead of the tanks for the 1st Division. So it was a pretty good unit, and so I enjoyed that. I was a first sergeant for them for a number of years.
Okay. What other roles in the community have you served? How would people know you off the street?
Well, I guess that organizations that I'm part of, you know, I'm part of the Masons and the Shriners, and I've been involved. I've clowned down the streets of Bemidji in many of the parades. I worked as a clown. I was a clown at the Shrine Circuses that we've had. I was I'm past commander of the American Legion, and I worked the food shelf. I worked Fishing Has No Boundaries. So pretty active in a lot of different things that that have taken place in Bemidji. So,
all right, great. And is this your first political campaign?
It is not. Back in the 80s, I ran for Bemidji School Board. And so I was on the school board for 7 years.
Oh.
And I was president of the school board 2 of those years. And so we were pretty active with that. My girls graduated from Bemidji High School, as well as my wife and myself. And then I graduated from Bemidji State University and St. Cloud State. So.
Okay, and what made you want to throw your hat into this race for Bemidji City Council?
Well, I've had people ask me if I would consider running. There are issues that they had concerns about, and they know the values that I appreciate, and I've done. When I was in Red Lake, I taught in Red Lake, and I should say that. And I when I was teaching in Red Lake, I was a principal, teaching principal, and then superintendent of schools up there, and we had to understand how major budgets would work, and how you had to make sure that your monies were spent appropriately. We were in deficit spending there. When I took over, we brought them from $2 million deficit back onto a balanced budget in 2 years. So those are some of the things. I understand that those are the kinds of values that I have. And I always am very conscious of taxpayer money and how it's spent and that you use it appropriately. And so those are some of the reasons why I was asked to participate in the council. So.
Okay. So my next few questions are specific city issues. The first one is, half of the city is non-taxable land and properties. So a significant burden to operate the city falls on the remaining city property taxpayers. What solutions do you have that you think might solve this problem?
Well, as far as solving the problem, I guess that When I was on the Bemidji School Board, this is one of the issues back in the 80s and 90s that we dealt with, too, because we saw properties in the city that were like moving. The bank was one of them that moved different places that were vacant. But we had a very conscious awareness that if you were to purchase properties, you're taking it off the tax rolls, and they're depleting that revenue from the city's budget. And so we were very conscious of that, and we steered away from that. We did purchase a building, and that was vacated in the downtown area because it was a large warehouse. I shouldn't say large warehouse, a warehouse that we needed for something, but after that we stayed away from purchasing it. That's not the case now, and I see some of the properties have been purchased by the district in that, and I think that the district and the county and the city need to converse and to talk about those issues, because we have to make sure that once we take those off the tax rolls, it depletes money from the county, from the city, and that's their tax base that they need to do the functions that are critical for them.
And a second part to that question, do you support a hospitality or other special use tax to relieve some of that burden, especially for the costs of the Sanford Event Center?
I do. I do support that. I know that there are concerns by the folks on the hotel group that are along the lakeshore, but those revenues are passed on to those that use the facilities. And I have season tickets. My wife and I attend the hockey program, and we go to concerts here. But when we're going to the concerts in the earlier part, that's the only time that there really were very many of them. There were a lot of people coming in from all areas. They're coming in from Grand Rapids. Some drove in from Duluth, some from Grand Forks, and so on. So people would come in. They would stay over. They'd spend money at restaurants and bars and hotels. And so when they use those facilities, they need to pass the costs of that onto them too, because they're coming into the area. So that's the reason I think that it should be supported.
All right, my next question is on Highway 197, that stretch of business corridor. MnDOT plans to work on that stretch of highway within the coming years, and the plan for multiple roundabouts was scrapped. What do you think should happen there to improve safety?
Well, I guess I had questions about that myself. The roundabouts came up on the other side of town. I know the roundabouts are scrapped. They are in use over on the other side. I don't have a problem with roundabouts based on that. I understand that there is a good safety factor for roundabouts. But I also understand the other side of it, that it does impact because of the amount of time that it takes to put them in and the impact that it would have on businesses along that side. So it's kind of like a dilemma that's considered. The costs will be there. The longer the process is delayed, the roads will have to be repaired and worked on. Construction is going to happen there. The cost, as long as we delay it, the cost will go up. On the other hand, when you do that sort of thing, and you, if you were to do roundabouts or whatever process or project you would do to change that, that is also going to impact on those businesses, and along with the COVID-19, it'll probably drive some of them out of business, which is neither one of those are good solutions. So it's one of those things that has to go into long-range planning, and that's what we would always do in the school business. We'd look at long-range planning and how it has to come about, what we have to do to repair roofs and to repair parking lots and so on. The city has the same kinds of things, so that corridor of road has to be in the planning, what we're going to do. So I think solutions and suggestions have to be brought forward to the city council so they can review them and make good and honest decisions on what should be done and is appropriate. And I think even taking input from the community is critical, because although the business owners have concerns, so do the citizens, and we have to involve all of them.
Right. Okay. My next question is on the city's water systems. The well water treatment facility is underway already, and a wastewater treatment expansion isn't too far on the horizon. Without legislative bonding dollars or a new sales tax, these burdens of these projects will likely fall to utility ratepayers. What are your thoughts on these projects and possible funding solutions?
Well, we live on the west edge of the city, and we have no city water, we have no city sewer. But we can see where the plant is over on the airport, and we're very aware of how it came about, how the needs for those things had come about because of the situation when there was not, I guess, a concern or a knowledge that the training exercises that were taking place with the foaming, the runways, and those kinds of things got into the aquifer and affected the waters. It actually affects our water here when we have our own wells. So there are concerns about it, but safety is a critical thing for the water supply to the people in the city of Bemidji. And so we do not want a Flint water situation that would come up and their people's lives are in danger or the children as they would be using it, having to go to bottled water, those kinds of things. So we have to make a change. And we have to address it. The fact that there is no support, federal support money at this time to assist in making those changes, I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. But we definitely should be applying for grants and writing for monies that could possibly help us to deal with those issues. So water is an important thing, and we have to work on it. We know that. But I'm glad that the process is in play right now and that we're moving forward with it. As far as the wastewater, I did tour that plant, and in touring the plant, it is really well managed. I appreciated the input that was done by the man doing the job and explaining how everything is filtered, how the processes are upgraded regularly, how the staffing actually has been reduced because of the new technology that's been put into place. And so it's more cost effective on how it's being done. But the big thing is that all the effluents that are taken out and the contaminants that are in the water as the sewage comes into the plant is done very effectively, and they manage that and monitor it very closely to make sure that the waters that come out of that and go back into the lakes and streams and into the water table, that they are clear and acceptable. So they measure by parts per million of contaminants, and so it's done and managed very well. So I'm very happy with that. They do upgrade that, and that process is going to be continually monitored and upgraded as they go along.
All right, my next question is, recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve race relations and trust?
Well, race relations is not a new thing. It's a old thing that's just bearing its head right now. And the city of Bemidji is in a situation where to the east, they have the Cass Lake folks as Native American, and to the north, they have Red Lake folks that are Native American. And although they do have their populations, have their own school districts, a number of people from those communities will have their children attend the Bemidji school system. About 9% of them, as a matter of fact, but about 1% of the population is also African American. And 1% is Asian, and 4% are Hispanic. So we have a variety of kids attending our schools. So we have to be aware of that and the curriculum that is going out. If you're going to make changes in any community, you have to start and make sure that the youth are given the proper information. It's not just given from one side. It's looked at equally, and so that they value the contributions that are made by Native Americans and African Americans and Asian and Hispanic folks. So that's a critical part of that. I had said that I would work with the and took a job. My first job of teaching after graduating from college was in Red Lake, and I worked in Panema, which is a very unique community, and they have a lot of values that they appreciate and they think that are important. The Red Lake community is the same way, the Cass Lake folks. And so we need to find ways to incorporate some of those ideas into what we're seeing in the Bemidji community and how can they be appreciated. And so that's just a big thing that needs to happen. There is racial bias, and I've seen it myself, because one day I was in a local store, and the administrative assistant that I had was in there shopping. She was an elderly lady, just did an amazing job. She managed the office with an iron hand, and she really knew her things. But she was just a good, honest lady. And so as I was sorry, and I was going to walk over, I overheard the store manager say to one of the people that work there, "You go follow her and make sure she doesn't steal something." And it really made me feel offended. Although I didn't say anything to them, I went over and walked and talked with Rose, and we walked until she was ready to leave the store. But it has an impact, and although we seem to not want to be aware of those things, they are very much present, and we need to find ways to deal with it. I think some of the ways that you can do that, though, is to intentionally invite the underserved, and that's what we need to call them. They are underserved community and people, and invite them to the council activities and to set up listening posts in safe locations where these groups can sit and talk, and allow them to have a spokesperson that can talk for them, because a lot of times they don't wish to share things, or it's kind of hard for them to speak out. And so they need to be able to speak out, and I've seen this with the kids that I worked with for many years, and sometimes they're just kind of embarrassed to speak out, but they need to tell what they're feeling and how they would feel part of the community. They feel like they need to be part of it, and that's absolutely true. If you wish to break down barriers, you have to make people feel like they're part of it. But the last thing that I would say is I would recommend that the council be expanded and it be allowed to be filled by only a minority member that would be a resident of the city of Bemidji. So I think that those are some of the ways that it could be addressed and to make them feel like they had a say in what's happening. Because it's definitely there, and the stores and that, they benefit from those people shopping in the stores of Bemidji and being part of that. So anyway, that's just my thoughts on it.
All right. Well, my last question is on COVID-19. As things are starting to pick up and get closer to normal, what do you think the city council's role should be in public health emergencies such as COVID-19?
Well, yeah, COVID-19 is an interesting, scary deal. I actually worked on pandemics in one of the school districts that I worked in, and it was part of the process of planning and how to deal with it, using tabletop discussions and having people involved from the county and the state and the local and the schools, and all those people have input. How do you plan to deal with that process? So it's a big challenging thing. We actually, my wife and I went out west, and when this thing happened in February, we were just checking into a hotel out west, and we saw how it was starting to spread. We weren't even aware of it, because on our way out there, it just kind of came up to us, and it was made aware of us in a very short period of time. We checked out, and we came right back to Bemidji, where we felt safer, and so I think that we do feel safe in this community. We're away from a lot of the crowded areas of the city, and the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul and St. Cloud. And so you have to be concerned about it. But one of the things that you have to do is that the city council has to stay away from the rhetoric of politicians. And even though they're politicians themselves, they need to stay away from that and not be swayed by what somebody thinks is best without understanding the science, and the science that really dictates what is going to happen and what you need to do to protect yourself. The city council has a responsibility to protect all the residents of Bemidji, and that they have to make wise choices, and they can't make it on how they feel. They have to make it on how science will say that it'll impact on us and what steps need to take place to make sure that people are protected.
All right. Well, that takes care of my questions. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today. Roger Schmidt for Bemidji City Council at Large.